Now, if you recall, we've been looking at the Song of Ascents. These are songs that were sung by the pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem for the feasts, or one of the feasts. Now, that's what I think, yes. These psalms, we've been through a few, and they call upon God, they depend on God, they look forward to Jerusalem, which is the seat of God in his temple. They're psalms which look to put their trust in God. They're psalms which ask God to restore Jerusalem. There are psalms which ask God to bless those who follow God. And last time, if you remember, Psalm 129 calls on God to act against those who would oppose him. But now the matter turns inwards. Now, if you have a Bible with you, great. If you haven't, there is a Bible in front of you. So do grab one and do share them. And if you'd turn to Psalm 130, it would be nice, because the Psalms are a corporate thing, if we could read this together. Okay. I think we've all got roughly the same version of the Bible, and if we haven't, it's all roughly heading in the same direction anyway. So, Psalm 130. Let's read together. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Okay. So can we have the slide up, please? Yeah, Sim. You all got that, didn't you? What's in the name? I would like to keep up for the whole of our discussion together. This is from Exodus 34, where Moses asks the Lord to tell him his name. So he puts him in the cleft of a rock and proclaims his name before him. And the Lord passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the gracious, compassionate, and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Quite tough words in places there. Just as an aside, if you do meet somebody, a child who is suffering for the sin of the parents, it may well be that they might be the third or the fourth generation, and your ministry will help the Lord be gracious and compassionate to them. But that's an aside for later. Okay, now, Psalm 130. We're going to go through the psalm a couple of verses at a time. I'll read them and then just lead us through a few thoughts. And hopefully we can get a little picture of what's happening in the psalm with the psalmist, with Israel, and with us as well in the process. Okay. So the first two verses. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. The first word I'd like you to focus on is the first word, Lord, in verse 1. It's written in small caps. It's the same as the all caps Lord there. That's the covenant name of God. And what's the covenant name of God? Think of that. The God who is faithful to his covenant with his people. The God who is faithful to his covenant with... There is a covenant with the earth as well. He made that with through Noah. There is a covenant with us and there is a covenant with David. And the covenant with us was sealed by Jesus. So think of that name. That name there embodies all that covenant, all that character, all that person. So, our psalmist. Our psalmist is in a dark place. He wants the Lord to hear his voice. He prays knowing there is a God of a covenant here. He prays for mercy. Okay? Now, these are pilgrim's songs. So the psalm is not pointing to one person, it's pointing to the corporate, the body. It's a body psalm. That's what we're aware of in all of this. So it's the body, the group, who are wanting mercy from God, and it's the psalmist who is giving the voice here. And he cries for mercy. Why is he crying for mercy? Well, let's go on to the next two verses. If you, Lord, remember the covenant name, kept a record of sins, Lord, which is means Adonai, which means master, ruler, someone who's Lord over us, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. So he knows he's worshipping a just, merciful God. Yet he's one who is holy, and he's conscious, the psalmist, of his own sin. He's conscious of the fact that he isn't worthy to stand anywhere near God. But yet he is working with it. He is coming to God not as somebody who is lost, but somebody who is working with a covenant. So he's a believer. And he knows he needs forgiveness. And again, he's giving voice to the people. The people are needing forgiveness. Yes, they've come along so far, but they know they are not clean to come to the Lord. Yet they need to have forgiveness. But it says, with him there is forgiveness. So there is forgiveness with the Lord. And that's where he's coming through. So let's read the next few verses. I'm not going to spend, so just this is just a walk through the psalm together. That's all. I wait for the Lord. I wait for Yahweh here. I wait for the Lord, the covenant name of the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Now, put a few notes down earlier. Confession here and waiting for the psalmist, whether it's personal, whether it's a corporate thing, whether it's a national repentance, which is what they're getting at in Israel, is not something you have on your to-do list between washing the car and phoning your mum, which is something I did this afternoon. It takes time. It takes an effort. It takes a place in your... It doesn't take a place in your schedule. It is your schedule. That is what the psalmist is doing. He's waiting. And how does he? How much does he want this? How much does he want the Lord to respond? How much does he want it? Well, I've done night watchman jobs. Some of you here will have done it. Usually at Christmas time, when it really, when the morning doesn't happen until about 7 o'clock, it really is, you know, like that. You want the dawn to come. And the watchman here will be the watchman on the wall waiting for the dawn to come. And when he comes back, when the dawn happens, he knows that his job is over, the city is safe for one more day. And his job, that is how much he wants the dawn to come, because he knows the entire city is safe if he's done his job properly. Not many people like night shifts. I didn't. As well, I've been there. So that's the psalmist. He's wanting, he's waiting. He's giving voice to the people that he's waiting. So in 7 and 8, which I'll read, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord, remember, he's saying Lord twice here, is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. In some versions, it's from all his sins. So the psalmist calls Israel to put their trust in the Lord, in that covenant name. And he will redeem Israel. Yes, he did redeem them from slavery in Egypt. And in some sense, he did redeem them by bringing them back from the exile from Babylon. But ultimately, his redemption is fulfilled in Jesus. And we know that. And we're complacent with that. And we know it's been sealed, and we are part of that redemption. And it was sealed with Jesus' blood on the cross, and ratified by the resurrection from the dead. He's been confirmed by the Holy Spirit and all that stuff, and all of that. And we're looking forward to our final full redemption when we're with God forever, with our Lord forever. We know that, but there's a big so what. There's always a so what with these things. I've just explained our part of the covenant very briefly with God. And it's more eternal than the psalmist had ideas for. He probably saw it in realms of Israel, but we see it in a more global setting, an eternal setting. But I think the psalmist has a deeper understanding of the relationship with the Lord than we have, perhaps. We've got a relationship with a holy God. We can agree with the passage here. This is who we serve. This is who sent his Son as man, also God, to die on a cross for us, who sends his Spirit, also God, in us, deliver us and bring us through to eternal life. But I think we need to have a little bit more of a, perhaps a deeper thought on who God is, what he does, on his holiness, his willingness to forgive, but is what it took for him, for us. The psalmist is pointing towards it. As a psalmist often always seems to do, he often points towards Christ in the Psalms in some way.